Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Brain Stuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brain Stuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. Buzz Aldrin may forever be remembered as the second human being to step foot on the moon during the Apollo 11 mission in 1969. But to dismiss Aldrin as history's most famous second-place finisher is to ignore his genius, his bravery, and his tireless advocacy for crewed space exploration. For the article this episode is based on, How Stuff Works spoke with space historian and author Rod Pyle, who's met and interviewed Aldrin a number of times and never ceases to be amazed by the former astronaut's active engagement with the future of spaceflight, especially as he's now 93 years old. Pyle said, he stands ramrod straight and he's full of energy and ideas. Buzz thinks more clearly about this stuff than people my age times three. Born Edwin Eugene Aldrin Jr. in Montclair, New Jersey in January of 1930, Aldrin earned his famous nickname from his little sister Faye Ann, who called him Buzzer instead of Brother. He legally changed it to Buzz in the early 1980s. In a bit of poetic foreshadowing, Aldrin's mother's maiden name was Marion Moon. Aldrin was a stellar athlete and a straight-A student, graduating 1 year early from high school. His father, a colonel in the Air Force and himself an aviation pioneer, had high expectations for Buzz and secured him a spot at the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. But Aldrin wanted to go to West Point, says Pyle, because that's where the flying was happening. After graduating third in his class from West Point with a degree in mechanical engineering, Aldrin enlisted in the Air Force and shipped off to the Korean War, where he flew 66 combat missions and earned the Distinguished Flying Cross. Aldrin learned about the fledgling astronaut program from Ed White, who he met during a tour of duty flying F-100s in Germany. Buzz wanted in, but NASA was exclusively recruiting test pilots, not combat pilots, and the space organization rejected Aldrin's first application. Not to be deterred, Aldrin figured out another way in. He knew that one of the biggest engineering unknowns of spaceflight was how to dock with another vehicle in orbit, so he decided to become an expert in that. He earned a PhD from MIT in astronautics with a thesis titled Line of Sight Guidance Techniques for Manned Orbital Rendezvous. When he applied to NASA a second time in 1963, Aldrin won a spot and became the first astronaut with a doctoral degree. His fellow astronauts called him Dr. Rendezvous. At NASA, Aldrin lived up to his nickname, taking command of the rendezvous and docking preparations for the Gemini missions. His first space flight was Gemini 12, the very last Gemini mission before the launch of the Apollo program. He and James Lovell rocketed into orbit on November 11th of 1966 with two critical missions, dock with the Agena spacecraft and conduct the longest spacewalk to date. That first task might have been a failure if not for Aldrin's speedy math skills. The astronauts were approaching the Agena, about 75 miles or 200 kilometers out and closing fast, when their computerized tracking system went down. Luckily for NASA, one of the men on the Gemini 12 crew had spent the last 6 years calculating orbital trajectories. Pyle said, for a lot of people, that would have been a mission ender. But Buzz pulled out a sextant, a pencil, a pad of paper, and a slide rule, and calculated the trajectory by hand. They rendezvoused and docked with the Agena using less fuel than anybody had previously using computers. And then came the spacewalk, known in NASA parlance as extravehicular activity, or EVA. Pyle says that previous spacewalks hadn't gone as planned. Astronaut Gene Cernan almost didn't make it back from his Gemini 9 EVA, suffering from poor visibility through a fogged-up visor, no handholds on the ship's exterior, and dangerous levels of exhaustion. Gemini 12 was NASA's last chance before Apollo to prove its astronauts could make critical repairs in orbit, but Aldrin didn't think the top brass was taking it seriously enough. To prepare for his EVA, Aldrin was one of the first astronauts to use underwater training extensively. Pyle says that NASA didn't have its own neutral buoyancy pool yet, so they sunk pieces of the Gemini trainer in the deep end of a pool at a private boys' school in Maryland. Pyle said Buzz was a scuba enthusiast, so he just poured himself into the training and was there all the time. He was really aggressive about it. All that preparation paid off. Aldrin spent more than 5 hours conducting spacewalks on the Gemini 12 mission. He moved around the ship effortlessly thanks to special handholds and foot restraints that Aldrin himself had designed. He performed test maneuvers with tools and even cleaned the windows for fun. Buzz was so relaxed outside the capsule that he even snapped the very first space selfie. He brought his clunky camera out during the first EVA and pointed it at Earth, joking to Mission Control, "Okay, tell everyone down there to smile." Then he balanced the camera on the edge of his hatch and aimed it at himself. "Now let me raise my visor and I'll smile," said Aldrin, posing for the slightly awkward but historic selfie. After Gemini 12, Aldrin was slotted for Apollo 11 along with Neil Armstrong and Michael Collins. Pyle explains that Deke Slayton, who was in charge of scheduling astronauts for NASA at the time, swore that it was simply the luck of the draw that Aldrin and Armstrong were picked for Apollo 11 and that Armstrong was the first to step foot on the lunar soil. Pyle said, those guys were both uniquely qualified. Buzz was the orbital dynamics guy who figured out the EVA. Neil was the incredible X-15 pilot who was known for extreme flying skills. If you read between the lines, though, and Neil is the guy with almost no ego and best suited to be the first on the moon. There was pushing and pulling up until the last few months about who was going to be out first. Aldrin's father really wanted his son to be the first human on the moon, and Buzz lobbied hard for the honor, arguing that his position in the lunar module offered easier access to the hatch. But once NASA chose Neil, Pyle says, Buzz swallowed his pride and dutifully executed the mission. While Armstrong's one small step for man, quote, has been immortalized, Aldrin's description as he took his own first steps on the moon was poetic. He said, beautiful, beautiful, magnificent desolation. Returning home, Aldrin and the Apollo 11 crew were celebrated as global heroes. Pyle explained that of the three, while Buzz eventually leveraged his fame the most, he wasn't prepared for the rebound effect after such an intense emotional high. How do you follow that? Pyle said, he descended into a deep depression. Buzz talks openly about this in his memoir, Return to Earth. His first marriage failed. He had a drinking problem. Money was tight. At one point, he was actually selling used cars to make ends meet. But then Aldrin found sobriety and his post-NASA calling. He spent every day of the past 4 decades promoting the future of crewed spaceflight. And who better than Buzz Aldrin, Apollo 11 hero, to make the case for humankind's return to the moon and beyond? Aldrin isn't just a rocket booster, if you'll forgive the pun. He's very much still an engineer and adventurer at heart. In the 1990s, Buzz developed an ingenious scheme for transporting astronauts to Mars called the Aldrin Mars Cycler. The Cycler is a hypothetical cross between a space station and a spacecraft that would continuously orbit the sun in a path that periodically intersects with each the Earth and Mars. Astronauts could shuttle to and from the Cycler without burning too much fuel. Buzz also launched the Aldrin Family Foundation with his son Andrew to help inspire and prepare the next generation of astronauts through STEAM education, that is, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. He was also a 2010 contestant on Dancing with the Stars at age 80 and recorded a semi-satirical rap called Rocket Experience with Snoop Dogg around the same time. And, of course, he lent his name to Buzz Lightyear in the Toy Story series. Pyle described a phone conversation with Aldrin as the equivalent of sitting in on a graduate-level course in aerospace engineering. He said, "Buzz has a plan for everything. You do get the sense that there's three or four brilliant minds in there all competing for the same mouth. And that's just how smart he is and how driven he is." Today's episode is based on the article Second to None, Here's the Buzz on Buzz Aldrin on HowStuffWorks.com, written by Dave Ruse. And BrainStuff is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with HowStuffWorks.com and is produced by Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.